Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. In the next hour, Dr. Pat showcases some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Get ready to live life full out. Here's your host, Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. And I'm Dr. Pat. I want to thank everybody, every one of you out there, for tuning us in and turning us on, and thousands of you listening to just this hour. And I'm just so grateful. I can't even tell you. But I'm also a little emotional today. And you're going to find out why in a second. You know, I have this incredible interview, conversation I'm getting ready to have with an amazing man. And, you know, you're going to hear about who he is. But most importantly, I was so surprised at how I would react to the book that he has written, how I would react to his personal story. And I will tell you that my heart became so open in hearing the steps, his life, the influence that his mother had on him, and what the nuggets of wisdom that he got to embrace to bring him to where he is today. Now, let me tell you who I'm talking about here for a moment. I'm talking about an incredible man, Geir Ness. The book is called Letters from a Son to His Mom. And you're going to hear about how this brilliant, brilliant young man and relationship with his mother helped shape his life. And so let me start by introducing him in this way. Imagine starting a business in a country in which you're not a citizen and have not mastered the language. Starting a business now in an industry you know absolutely nothing about. And being in a place where you have no family, no money, no contacts to help you get started. This is the amazing story of Geir Ness, a boy born in Oslo, Norway, humble home, loving parents, and they taught him that the greatest gift anyone could offer in his life is to love, care, and share with those less fortunate. Now, his mom, who you're going to hear a lot about during this conversation today, taught him that you should never, never give up on your dreams, to stay focused on what your goals are, you know, to get a good education, and be dedicated to hard work. All of that, put it all together, add several drops of the beauty of love, and you have phenomenal success. At a young age, he developed an extraordinary passion for many things in life. His stories of working in a market and delivering papers and doing all sorts of things and you'll hear why in a minute, to learn how to save, and more importantly, to learn how to live your dream and to care for other people. Now, along the way, you're going to hear what he discovered, what he realized about the land that he lived in, what he realized about the odds of being successful in an industry that is highly competitive from a country that has never even begun to bear this kind of product and be successful. And so Geir is joining us here today because not only has he and is he living his dream, but he is helping others live theirs. He contributes to so many others, other causes. He's learned how to pay things forward, and you're going to hear about that today. But I am so honored and thrilled to have my very special guest join us here today. You're going to hear his story. You're going to hear what success he's created, and you're going to hear how a mother has helped shape, craft, and open up the heart of a very successful man. Geir, thank you so much for joining us today. It's wonderful to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to tell my story.
Well, I said to you before the break that as I was reading the book, and you know, Linda and I, of course, are reading this book together, I could hardly read it, some of the letters out loud. And the book is Letters from a Son to His Mother. I could hardly read some of this out loud because, you know, one of the most influential people in my life and my best friend's life was her dad, who was also born in Norway. And so some of the things that I read, some of the words your mother said to you were just struck us at such a deep level. Was I correct in saying that growing up, your mom really did help craft, shape, and open your heart?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. From basically I was born, I just remember her, since I was just a couple of years old, how she influenced me on everything she was doing, and not just so much of things she was saying, but things she was doing. You know, I was watching her, the way she was treating everybody, and how she did it. It wasn't, as I said, so much about, yeah, do this, stay there, do that. She was just basically doing things that I was watching and seeing, and how she was treating everybody. When she took me to the market when I was a few years old, you know, to the supermarket, and she will stop, you know, for older people, talk to them the way that I never seen thing, and to basically these people she talked to almost, you know, hugged her and was thankful just that she was talking to them, but she talked them to it with a special way that made them feel good, because a lot of times, you know, in the winter when it's cold in Norway and people just want to go out, especially when they're older, and you know, she just comforted them, and the way she was talking to them, I was remember just so proud of her, the way she was, and everybody loved her just because the way she was, and she really was my role model. And I say to myself, and that's probably not nor usually kids doesn't really do that probably, but I said to myself, I want to be like my mom when I grow up, you know, the way she is. I didn't know really what that meant when I was that little, but I just remember she was always there, you know, and we didn't have any money when I grew up, but it wasn't about that. It was about love and the way she was treating other people that really, really impacted, you know, my life.
Well, and it's really clear to me in the book how much you care and love her. You know, today's show title is very interesting when we put this together, Gear, to have you on the show. And we are going to talk about this. I mean, it was From Rags to Riches, international Norwegian fragrance designer, Gear Ness. Mm-hmm. But when I read, you know, the book, your story, how things unfolded for you, what you did to make things happen, it is a From Rags to Riches story. But the other thing that I also discovered was that there is so much wisdom in how you went about taking action in your life. There's so much wisdom that the world needs right now. Would you share for us a little bit of the story of how you were inspired to create what we're going to call the fragrance at the moment, and then we're going to introduce our listeners to that?
Well, I probably could start to tell a little bit about how it came by, you know, the little background.
Yes.
Because I think that's really interesting for people to listen to. Well, when I was very little, my mom will always take me, you know, out in the nature in Norway. We go to the mountains, you know, to the fjords. And I remember, you know, she was picking flowers, and I remember the scent, you know, the scent of these flowers and the herbs, you know, they were amazing. And I could separate them. I mean, my mom will teach me, well, it's the name of these and all that. And I just love that smell and the time we have together, just going, you know, in the mountains and just doing that made me feel free. And it's the scent, the freshness of the air and the whole thing stuck with me the whole time growing up. And I just always, when I see different flowers, you know, whatever the flower is, I always try to separate them, and I make a smile. And I remember lately there was this bouquet of flowers and Lily of the Valley and some other flowers that I smelled when I come to some friends for dinner, and that reminds me right back, you know, to my mom again. And so everything we did together when I grew up, there was about smell and the freshness outdoors. It was like a beautiful memory of my childhood. And we came from a very small home. We lived in a fourplex, so we had a one-bedroom apartment. And I stayed there with we were three brothers in the bedroom, and my mom and dad, they had their bedroom in our living room. That was their bedroom. And our bathroom was downstairs in the basement. We shared that with our neighbors downstairs. So when you have like minus 20 degrees in the wintertime, we had to go down two steps, stairs, you know, like almost outside the house to get to your bathroom, and it was so cold, there was no heat down there. You do your things quickly, come up again, and it was dark and it was cold. But say the reason I'm saying all these things now is because it didn't matter. You know what I mean? We always felt that we had something. And there was flowers. My mom had always beautiful flowers in an apartment, and she made everything the best she could. And we always felt the love, even if we couldn't afford to do what a lot of my friends could do, take time and go to vacation. You know, we couldn't, but they didn't really matter, but just because of the love she was showing us. So I thought when I grew up that we did have everything, and she also taught me that, yeah, if I want something extra, you know, then I have to work, you know, for it. So when I was around 11 or 12 years old, I got a job going with newspaper, hanging out newspaper in the morning. So before, yes, I went to school, my mom would wake me up at 3:30 in the morning, and I will get dressed and then go down and get all my newspaper and pass them out to all the houses and go back to bed for like half an hour and then go to school. And then a year after that, I started to work weekends, cleaning offices and stores to make extra money. For my goal was at that early age, by the time I was 18, I wanted to buy my own condominium in Oslo. And I did because of this money and what she taught me to get dedicated and save money and, you know, doing it. And at the same time, I did sport. I did my mom. I had all these things going on, and I always felt very blessed that I had my mom with me, you know, all the time. She was that encouraged me to do it and saving. And she was just never told me. She was just showing me basically more than just telling me the words. And I think that made a big difference too, because you can see that it's working the way she was doing it. So why wouldn't it work for me? Instead of somebody just telling you, do this, do that, and they don't do them themselves. But she basically acted the way she wanted me to do. And So when I was 18, I bought my first condominium, and I was still, you know, working, going to school. And I remember a couple of years later, I see these pictures in magazines and newspaper all the time about palm trees in Spain. And, you know, I always wanted to go away and see what was out there in the world. And, you know, growing up in Norway, we don't have palm trees and
right.
and all that. So I was like, I really, really want to go to Spain, you know, and work. But it's like, how can I go there? And one day I see this advertisement in the newspaper. They're looking for tour guides in Spain, but they have to speak fluent Spanish, and they have to know this island called Mallorca in Spain to be there, because they needed more people right away that could take over some of the jobs that was there. And I said to myself, I'm going to apply for this job. I know I can't speak the language, but, you know, who knows? I'll just try and see what happens. So I applied, and I got an interview. So I walk into this place in downtown Oslo, and I see hundreds of people are waiting in line. And it was my tour to go in. And the person who interviewed me, I'll never forget this, she asked me all these questions about, you know, Spain and all that. And if I've been there, I said, oh, yeah, we've been there many times. And I was just like, I really wanted this. So I just, whatever it took, you know, I said, I can do it. So I told her, you know, that, and she liked my personality. And I was like, so then she said to me, well, wait here. We're going to have a Spanish teacher coming and ask you questions in Spanish, just so we'll be sure that you know Spanish the way you're telling me you can it. I said, okay. So I was waiting for the Spanish teacher to show up, and she never showed up till something happened to your car, whatever it was. So the person that interviewed me wrote down on my application that I could speak fluent Spanish, because I have told her. So, you know, and she took it, she was sorry that the person didn't show up, and I was very lucky, but so I left. And I didn't think anything more about it. I was just, okay. A few days later, I got a phone call that I got the job, and I had to leave the next following day to Mallorca. They needed people there right away. And I started to like, oh, wow, you know, what do I do now?
Oh,
and
I just remember
my mom said to me, Geir, you can do anything you want to do. And she'd say those words that I stick with me all the time. You just got to believe in it and believe in it, really believe in it. Not to say the word, but really feel it, that you can do this. And you can, she said. So they drove me to the airport the next day. And this was in the evening. And when I arrived in Mallorca, there was dark black. It was midnight almost. And two of those tour guides that already was working there picked me up at the airport, took me to my hotel and gave me my, you know, shirt and tie and all that, and told me, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, you're going to be downstairs in the information booth and welcome new guests and tell them where to go and not to go and all that. And they gave me a brochure and a map of the island, and that was it. And all the people that I'm going to be working with are people from Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Germany, you know. So I could speak their language, but I couldn't speak Spanish. So I go down to the information booth, and I remember this family came over, mom, dad, and two kids, and the dad was saying to me, oh, we're so excited. We've never been here before, and we want to go to a place that you don't see all those tourists and everything and see something that's typical for this island. Where should we go? And I'm standing there, you know, I have no clue where I am, and I take up this map that it was given to me, and I see on the map while I was talking to them, there's some greenery on the north side of the island. So seeing that, I know that this must be a place that is green, has a lot of trees, and it's probably beautiful, you know. So I was telling them, and this is a beautiful area, and I see on the map that the road are very swingy, go up and down. So I told them, when you drive here, be careful, because the road is very swingy. And I constantly basically telling them what I'm seeing on this map. Uh-huh. And next to the map, it says something about this restaurant that will be in that area that's famous, and they have a great paella, and Gloria was the name of the woman who owns it. Ask for her, she owns it, and she's funny. She sometimes do a song or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So I tell them, when you come up this, you have to stop at this restaurant. It's my favorite. Ask for Gloria, and she's amazing. She cooked the food herself, and she maybe do a song for you, a salsa or something. You know, and I went on and on about that, and they took notes and the whole thing, and then they're going to rent the car. And renting a car there, you have to speak Spanish, because you call to this office and they will come and get you. But they didn't speak in English at that time. You know, for this is over, you know, 15, 17 years ago. And at that time, very few people were speaking well English in Spain. So I had this phone number that was given to me to call for people to rent the car. So I called that number. Somebody answered back in Spanish. You know, I had no clue what they said. And I saw on this thing what car was coche, you know, in Spanish, and yes. Now is ahora. So I knew those two things and the name of my hotel. So I just come up with like a fake Spanish, basically. I said, oh, sí, claro, es la coche, ahora, in the name, and they say something, and then I just hang up with my one hand, but I pretend that I was still speaking Spanish a little bit, you know, and sí, okay, madre mía, gracias, yeah, and hang up, you know. And the family couldn't speak a word of Spanish, so they didn't know what I was doing. And he said, oh, my God, I'm so impressed that you can speak, you know, Swedish, Norwegian, Spanish. And and I looked at him and said, well, in this business, you have to know everything, I said, you know, and laughing. And so the car showed up after 15 minutes, and they got the car and they took off. So I continued working, and I started to learn more and more every day, you know, about little languages and where I was on the island and the whole thing. And a few months later, I got a call from my boss, in Mallorca, the capital is Palma, you know, it's just a big city inside this island. So his office was there, and I was outside in one of the resorts. So I got a call to come in, and I thought to myself, well, no, I'm probably going to get fired. They'll probably find out that I couldn't speak the language and all that. But I had a good time, so, you know, I was just ready to get fired. So I came into the office, and the secretary opened the door, and she gave me a letter to read before I'm going to see my boss. So I was sitting down on the sofa, and he was on the other side of the room, you know, doing his business. So I opened the letter, and it started like this. Dear so-and-so, we came to Mallorca for the first time ever with my family, and we meet this Norwegian tour guide, and we have never met anybody with such a knowledge and charisma and blah, 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 and he showed us where to go. We had the best day, you know, wonderful meal and all that, and we just had to say that we want to thank him, you know, and we hope you give this letter so he can read it too, and blah, blah, blah. So this guy that I have met was actually a VIP customer for this company. And after reading that, my boss said, come over here, and he gave me keys, and he said to me, tomorrow you're going to get another job, you're going to take over on the south side of Mallorca, and he gave me keys to a car, I got an apartment on the beach, and I'm going to take over like over 30 tour guides and be a boss over them. And he thanked me for you know, being such a great employee and the whole thing. And I walked out of that office, Laura, I said, wow, you know, and this was all about me believing in myself, to be able to do all this. And that shows you, that was one of the stories, but that shows you, you know, how important it is to really believe in yourself and not listen to everybody else telling you you can't do this, you can't do that, and maybe just being strong and believing in yourself, and good things like that will happen.
I love this story. I'm so glad you shared it, Geir, because, you know, this is really a time for people to really step it up and believe in themselves and to really take their dreams, you know, to the place that they want the dreams to go. We're going to talk about your dream when we come back from a break, because we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to introduce all of you to this just absolutely amazing influence on Geir's life. From rags to riches, international Norwegian fragrance designer Geir Ness joining us here today. And we might even talk about boiled cod and white sauce, or fish balls and white sauce today. I'm not sure. We might do that as well. Let's take a short break, everyone. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.
If you've gone through a separation and feel disappointment, despair, loss of identity, and fear, there is a new pathway to joy for you. SoulWorks Coaching empowers you to go through this separation with soul and hope. So get ready to step into a new relationship with yourself and build a fabulous new life. Contact Monique today at 617-328-7113. That's 617-328-7113. And visit soulworkscoaching.com. Give yourself this gift of love today.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests, who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I have to tell you, I am so touched by this story, and I'm so touched by my guest today, Geir Ness. And you're going to hear about his mom in a minute and about what he has created. But I want to just say that this story is bigger than a fragrance. It really is a story about how this amazing individual did go from rags to riches, how he went about it, what he believed in himself, what his mom shared with him, taught him, and continues to teach him today, and also what the message might be for all of us that are sitting on a dream and waiting for it to happen. Geir Ness is my very special guest today. Geir, thank you so much for joining me. And thank you for the stories, because I agree with you. We learn so much from these stories, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what I like to tell the stories for listeners that you have right now that, as you said, have a dream, they wanted to do something, but they don't really know how to do it, or they think maybe this is not good enough, or no, maybe this, and they question themselves when they're doing all that. And my thing is, you know, when you have something that you have created, just next step is to believing it and go for it. And that's the hard part for most people. We have so easy for us to sit around and talking about things, and you hear the same story year after year, and nothing happened, you know. But it's just to do it, which is the hard thing, and that's what I'm trying to get people to do when they hear stories that I have, when, how I created, you know, my life and my line. So, hopefully after we finish today that they will have more, you know, power in them to really go and do it.
Oh my gosh. I know that after reading your book, and here's what I want to say this personal influence was on me. You know, I believe in the laws of the universe and spiritual connections at a lot of different levels. And, you know, I have my own dream, and for whatever reason, it's been stalling a little bit. But I will tell you that I have an action plan to move forward on finishing my book and so forth, because what I read in your book and your story has so influenced me in such a short period of time. But you also do things in such a fun way. Now, I want to talk about this for a minute, because I just laughed when I heard the story about creating the fragrance, from a country that had never created a fragrance before, and then how you got this fragrance into Nordstrom's. I would love for you to tell people that story.
Yes. That is a fun story. And, just before people from Scandinavia singing, dancing. We have cabarets, and I've done some stuff also back in Norway, some little stuff on television there, some comedy stuff. And so I took all that stuff with me to Spain, and we had a fun. And I met this director from Sweden backstage one day. He said to me, you should go to United States or to England to learn more about your craft, you know, about the acting and all that. And I always wanted to do it, but I never thought about doing it. I loved what I was. And one day I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it. So I wrote a few schools, and one of them were in Los Angeles, an acting and producing directing school. So I ending up just flying there. I didn't know a single person, and I arrived at Los Angeles airport. I got a rental car, and the first night I stayed in a parking lot to sleep, because I didn't have much money to really spend in a hotel, you know, until I find something. And then I finally find the school. I went in there, had audition, I got in. And, you know, going to school and have a lot of bills to pay for apartments and what have you, money doesn't last long, because I had saved up, you know, money for at least a few months. So I needed an extra job in the weekend. And I had friends of mine in class that had all this weird jobs, I thought. And one of them said to me, a friend said to me, Geir, I can get you a job as a fragrance model in one of the department stores. And I said, fragrance model? What is that? He said, have you seen those people that are in the store with a perfume bottle in their hand and they spray everybody that walks in? You know, I said, yeah, I know that. And he said, well, one of those, and they pay pretty good money. You should do that. I said, but I don't know anything about fragrances. I said, I know about scents. I grew up with it, but I have no clue. I really haven't had any cologne in my life. except one, I think, and that was it. I said, well, you can do it, just go in there and I can try to get you a job. So I got this job from this company, and I was told, you know, to spray everybody that walks into the store. So I thought it literally meant spray everybody. So then, Dr. Pat, these people coming in, and I run after them, spraying them, and, you know, everybody, and they get, like, so mad, and the manager of the store come over to me and said, excuse me, sir, but I don't think this is for you. So I got fired after, like, a few minutes of that job. And so then I started to learn how to do it. So this other department store, this other mall, I got a job there, and now I started to learn more about how to approach people differently. And, you know, and I always do things 110%. When people tell me do that, so I do it, and then more. So this time I was more, you know, calm and just talk to them where they were from. And everybody that I spoke with asked me where I was from, and I said Norway. And they said to me, don't Norway have their own fragrance? And then I find out that Norway didn't have any fragrance that was from Norway. We had Italian fragrances and, you know, from the UK and Italy, but we never had our own fragrance. So I said to myself, wow, maybe I should try to do this myself, but I have no clue how to start. So one day I was doing work for some of these companies, and they're going to have a launch with Donna Karan fragrance in LA, and since I also sold a lot for them, I was invited to come to the party and doing all that. So I went to the party and I met this perfumer from France, and I was talking with him and I said, I would like to create a fragrance, you know, from Norway, but what do I do to create a fragrance? And the first thing he said to me, you have to find ingredients that you like. And the first thing that came to my mind were Norwegian wildflowers. You know, my mom and I went with her up in the mountains, the freshness, the cleanness of Norway, and all that. So when I was going to go back to Norway for a semester for vacation, I went back to Norway. I collected flowers and all that stuff, and I took it with me to the perfumer. And he started to help me to make oil out of the flowers, like natural oil. And it was important for us to use natural oil instead of synthetic. So if people are allergic, sensitive, they can still be able to wear it. And we also used pure lavender extract, so it has the cleanness to it.
Oh,
and after we did that with the sampler, and I would walk on the street, Dr. Pratt, I would walk on the street and ask people what they thought about the scent without telling them that I was behind it, because in that way you get the honest truth, what people really think. And after doing that for like several years, and I still worked with all the other companies, I learned so much about what people wanted, what they didn't want, and the whole thing. And I went to school in between and did all that. And all of a sudden people goes, oh my God, it smells so good. What's the name of this perfume? And I said to myself, this is the perfume I'm going to go with, but I didn't have any money to produce it. You know, so a friend of mine come over and I talked to him, and he said, Geert, I believe in you. Here's some money. So he lended me money. He said, pay me tomorrow or in 10 years. I know you're going to be successful. I had one credit card that I maxed out. So the money that I was supposed to use at school and everything, and I had like no money left, and I produced 1,000 bottles, and that's nothing today, you know, but that was all I had. So I copied my mom's signature without her knowing it, and I silkscreened her name on the bottle, and I sent it to her for Mother's Day. So the first bottle of Lila, you know, I sent to my mom, and then I had the rest of the bottles sitting in an apartment in Los Angeles without knowing that anybody will buy them, and, you know, no money left. So I had to go out in the evening and weekends to sell my clothes in garage sale to make rent, because I had nothing left.
Right.
Then I called up the department stores, and of course nobody called me back, because, you know, who are you? You know, Geert,
yeah.
Norway. You know what I mean? Like, I finally got a contact with Nordstrom's, and I met the buyer because I was fine. And so I got connections, you know, with her, and they had like 2 minutes to see me, right? So I walk in there, and she smelled my perfume, and she said to me, Geert, you have a great fragrance. I absolutely love it, but you have no advertisement money, and nobody knows who you are. This is harder than show business, so I'm sorry we can't do anything with it. And I said to her, what about if you take it into like one store and see how much I sell, and if I don't sell anything, I will take it all back. And she goes, we don't do that at Nordstrom's, you know, we don't do that here, but try someone else, but I'm sorry. But I never gave up and finally said, okay, I'm going to take in, I think it was around 100 bottles in one store, and then we'll find out how much you sell in like 3 months. And if you don't sell anything, you have to take them all back. And she just felt sorry for me more than anything else, and, you know.
Yeah.
So finally, this was going to be the day before Mother's Day. I'm going to get my perfume into Nordstrom. And the store was located close to Beverly Hills. And I knew I only had one shot. So I go to a garage sale, and I bought a suit for $5. And at this garage sale, they had a red carpet laying there. And I asked to get that red carpet with it. And the guy goes, okay. So I got the red carpet, and I have my suit, and I have everything planned in my head. And then I called up a friend of mine in class that was a photographer, and I asked him if he can come down and take a picture of me and pretend that I was a big, you know, celebrity from Europe. And he said,
yes.
Well, I would love to care, but I have no film in my camera. And I said, who cares? Nobody knows. You go down and flashing and make me look important. So he's willing to do that. And then I have a couple people in class that want to come by and just make a big deal that I was there and say, oh, my God, this is him from Europe. I can't believe he's here, and do the whole thing. So when the store opened, I had the red carpet. I had, you know, my bottles behind me. I have some pictures of myself since I went to this acting class. So I had some, you know, headshots all the way around me, behind me, and the red carpet and me staying there. And all of a sudden people come over and they see this flashing photographer, you know, and all that. And all of a sudden I have a huge line of people. And people loved the scent and buying it, and they were impressed that I came from Europe, you know, and they probably all thought that I was a big shot there. So everybody wanted to have this first bottle of this Norwegian perfume. And this woman come up to me, I never forget, and she had so much diamonds on her hands, she can barely lift it up to my shoulder, look in my face, and she goes, darling, I love that suit. That must be from Europe. You can't get that here. And I was just smiling back to her, and I didn't tell her that I bought it five blocks away in the garage sale. But but in an hour, Dr. Pat, I have all the bottles sold, and I only had like 30 people on a waiting list that wanted this fragrance. And I remember walking out of Nordstrom's and seeing this, you know, homeless person there with his box full of dollar bills. And he said to me, excuse me, sir, do you have some change? And I looked at him. I said, you know what? You have so much more money than I will have in a long time. So you should be very lucky. Looking at me like, you know, you stupid thing, because you come out from Nordstrom with a suit on and, you know, and it's all an illusion, you know, how to pronounce it. And at that time, I had an extra job. I was a seat filler for a talk show. Do you remember Star Jones? That wrote,
yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, she had her own show at that time, a talk show. And I was a seat filler in at her show, meaning that you have a seat and you sit there and applaud and clap because you need to fill all those seats and they pay
exactly.
you for that. So I jumped in my car that I bought for $500, parked six blocks away so nobody could see me, you know, that I had this kind of car, and took the suit off, and the suit that's full of, you know, small ants in it, and started to really, you know, it was pretty nasty. I took that all off, put my jeans on and a t-shirt, and I drive up to the, her show, and it become like a $25, whatever she paid me a day, to be a seat filler, you know, and that's how I started my business. You know, I did everything in between, and I was like a star at Nordstrom's and doing that. And then I built my up little by little. But that was my first time launching my fragrance at Nordstrom's.
Well, let's tell everybody, you know, how you named your fragrance, because I don't think folks, you know, have made the connection between, you know, the fragrance name and the whole line and your mom.
Right. I wanted a name that really meant something. So what I said, you know, I copied her signature without her knowing it, and I still screened her name on the bottle, and I gave it to her for Mother's Day. So Lila, which is the name of my mom. And what I really wanted with the fragrance was to basically have all my good memories and my mom wrapped up inside a bottle. So the scents that I grew up with, you know, with her name and her love and inspiration, I wanted to be this positive, you know, fragrance. So when people smell it, they feel good about themselves, you know, they feel loved, they feel all those wonderful things. Because the fragrance can really change your mood set. It can change, you know, if you're in a bad mood, give you energy. All those things I want to wrap into this bottle. So that's why I named it after my mom, Lila.
Oh, and I have to tell you, you all out there, it is an amazing fragrance. And, you know, we want to make sure that you get to the website as well. Let's give people information on how they can find out more about the fragrance before we go to break, Geir.
Okay. The first thing they can do is to go into my website, which is lila.com. It's L-A-I-L-A. la.com. There I have all my special gift set. I design handbags as well. I have cream for dry skin. And also my men's fragrance, which I named after myself, Gear.
Yes.
You know, Father's Day coming up, so a lot of people have been buying Father's Day gifts these days. But it's really the combination of these two fragrances. Both of them have natural oil base, so they're very clean and light. And I think the fragrance is very unique because it doesn't have that heaviness and sweetness that a lot of perfumer, and it lasts all day, but it stays fresh and light. And Dr. Pat, under Fashion Week, they did a blind test to find out what men like the best on women, and it came in number one out of 43 fragrances.
Oh my gosh, that is phenomenal.
Yeah. So it's been fun for me to create something, but I think the reason it's been doing so well because I created it with love and with something that meant something to me, not just come
exactly.
up with. And I never ever, this is an important thing, I never created this because of money, to think about what I'm going to make and all that. I just did it because I wanted it and it happened and I love my mom, and I never, money was never an inspiration for me at all. It never have been. It's always want to do. And when you do that, money will come. But I think it's very wrong if people say, I want to do this because I want to make this money, and they get all caught up in all this, you know, making this money and doing it, and they forget really what they're doing. You know, the main thing is to create something that they want to do. But if they're talking about how much money you're going to make, I think that's a big failure that a lot of people do. That's
I think it is,
advice.
Too. I think what you just said is worth its weight in gold, really, if I might say. Because when you do things to get the end result being money, that's yeah. not what makes people prosperous in life. And, you know, you just nailed it. You've got to, you created this line and all of, and everything else around it out of love. And boy, isn't that the key, and passion. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I didn't know you actually designed the purses on the website. I love the gold purse on here. As a matter of fact, I was looking at it before the show, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I have got to get that. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about his book. And the book is Letters from a Son to His Mother. Now, I will tell all of you, I don't know if we're going to get to read anything from here, but I was reading from it this morning, and I was so touched, I just cried. There's so much love here. Gear Ness is my very special guest. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Paul Bland. Did you know there is only one truly perfect food protein produced by nature? It can bring dramatic results to your health, your appearance, and overall performance. Introducing Action Whey. No other protein supplement on the market has been able to achieve the incredible health benefits of Action Whey while still achieving a taste that is better than a malt shop shake. Action Whey, for the way nature intended. Visit seaandearth.com. That's seaandearth.com for more information.
Lynette McKenzie is on a mission to raise the resonance of the listeners, inspire them to heal their wounds, and live their passion. Opening to Ecstasy, Live with Lynette, Radio for Your Body and Soul, features renowned healers, teachers, and change agents who are leading the way in advanced thought in the areas of sex, spirit, finding your purpose, living your passion, and befriending your body. Opening to Ecstasy, Live with Lynette, Radio for Your Body and Soul will enliven you, give you hope, expand your mind, and put the sparkle in your eyes. This talk radio show addresses serious issues while remaining lighthearted and fun. Lynette is masterful at combining humor and energy-raising techniques to give listeners an instant energetic boost and a heartfelt smile. If you're ready to open to ecstasy and expand your mind, tune in, tune on, and get live with Lynette. Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, go to OpeningToEcstasy.com or OpenLiveNow.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Oh. What if your best friend could take a peek into the future? Psychic, author, and cosmic coach Dougal Frazier is that friend. He's the queer guy with a third eye. From gossip to gurus, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Frazier Show is a call-in advice show that provides insights and information on creating your best life. Every Tuesday at 10, he'll take calls and talk about love, money, sex, pop culture, and give free advice. No topic is off limits. It's the Dougal Frazier Show.
Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5788. Now back to the program. Here's Dr. Pat Basile.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the show. This is a rags-to-riches story here, and you're getting to hear just a little bit of what Geir Ness's journey has been like. One of the things he does say is the American dream can come true, and it does not stop here. Always more to come. And there's a lot about that. You know, he is somebody that has demonstrated what the American dream could be like. But more than that, he gives back. He donates both his time and his money to a list of foundations such as the Los Angeles AIDS Ride, Norwegian Cancer Society, Chicago's Children Medical Research Foundation, Susan G. Komen, and many more. He walks the talk and he lives the lessons that have been so lovingly shared with him from his mother. The book that I have in front of me that many of you will want to get a hold of is called Letters from a Son to His Mother. Geir Ness is my very special guest today. He is the author of this, and it was inspired by his mother, Lila. Geir, I was sharing with you that Linda and I started to read this book, and I was trying to read her one of the stories, and I almost couldn't get it finished towards the end. And it was the first story in the book about light and love because I was so struck by it. Your mom was such an influence that you dedicated this book to her. Share with our listeners what are some of the things you've learned from her.
Well, I think the main thing was, as I mentioned a little bit in the beginning, was the way she was treating everybody. Like, just those walks when I was very little. And I don't think people realize how important it is. Especially when the kids are small, you know, whatever you do then will actually form you to who you are today. And the reason I'm saying that is because I remember so well walking with her to the store. And in my book, I have this example of this one woman. She was an older woman. She looked so scary, you know. She had this big nose. She looked like a witch, you know, walking. Nobody was talking to her. And I remember I was so scared of her. I was hiding behind my mom every time we saw her. If my mom would go over to her and talking, and all of a sudden you see this woman from being this nasty little thing, all of a sudden looked like an angel from after my mom had talked to her for like a few minutes. The way my mom was complimenting her and staying and listening and talking, and I see like, oh my God, I can't believe this woman, you know, that she's been so evil to everybody and running after them and get away, you know, she hated kids, right? But after my mom's doing that, just something happened to this person, you know? And we go into the grocery store, and you have nasty people around. But every time my mom comes in there, it's like everything changes, you know? From this nasty little supermarket to become like this beautiful. Everybody was happy just seeing her. Her attitude to the world and everything else was just amazing. Even if she had a bad day, you can never tell because she didn't believe in staying in that mood. She will always change and always be loving and showing the real way to do it. And that is the most thing I've learned from her. And also, of course, how she then said believing in myself, because I always want to do things that was maybe a little different. For example, buying my own place when I was 18 years old and had to do that from money that I had to save. She said, "Kid, if you want to do it, you got to save. You know, got to start." So then I got this job, you know, giving newspaper out in the morning at 3:30 in the morning when I was 11, 12 years old. But all the money I saved, you know, and I used them, and all of a sudden I had my own condominium. And everything that I want to do, I had. But it was because working, believing in yourself, and just working hard. And there's so many things you can do also today without having money. Like, you can just treat people with respect, to be nice to people, and the niceness and the thing you give out, it will come back. It can come back with anything. But if you do everything because of money, if you're money-driven, that if you're just thinking about money and how much money you're going to make, I think you will be pretty lost very quickly.
Yeah.
I have not talked to anybody that I know that are very successful that just doing it because they're making money. They're starting something because they wanted to. They feel, you know, this is one thing I want to do. We're writing a book, or if you're a painter, or nice pictures, and the money will come. But if you think about, oh, I'm going to make this because I want to make this kind of money, you know, then you're on the wrong track right away. So that's what I learned from her. You know, like, never think about money with anything. You just think about what you want to do. You know, have a goal, have a vision, and all those things will come to you. And that's one of the main things I learned from my mom.
Very, very, very. I mean, the book that you put together goes through stories after stories about your mom and about what you learned. You know, I was so struck by the story that you shared about the home that you lived in. You know, there were three, mm-hmm. I guess you had the two brothers and your mom. And, you know, there was this very, very small place to live. And
right.
And it was just humble. But what you shared in the book was that, you know, it was always beautiful. It was always, you know, your mom would just make it absolutely loving. And, I mean, how important is love right now, Geer, for you in your life?
I think love is everything, you know, and love doesn't only mean love, in between two people, you know, love, it's between your friends, between people that you meet and see, you know,
yeah.
that you can give so much with love. And especially today, when we're thinking about, you know, people talk about now, of course, the economy is bad. Everything is bad. And I try to switch things around in my life. You know, I say, no, things is actually good. You know, we live here. We have a life. We can eat food. This is great. You know, a lot of people can't do that. So instead of listening to all those news about, oh, economy are bad, it's 9% unemployment rate, the blah, blah, you know, and if you go into that route, yes, everything will be bad. But if you turn around and say, you know what, I'm looking at today, it's sunshine, it's this, things are good, it's going to be better, I'm going to make it better, I'm going to do this, and focus on the positive things instead of the negative things. And that's so much easier to be negative than positive. If you think about when you talk to people, oh, my back hurts a little bit today. Oh,
yeah.
I don't know, it's so expensive. Oh, you know, I can't really do this today. Oh, poor me. You know, like, you do all that. And I, you know, even if my back hurt a little bit, I say, you know what, I still have a back. You know, I have, you just turn it into something positive and live that way. Because I have done that, you know, my whole life, lived and think about and focus on the good, on the positive thing that I have, not the thing I don't have. Because that is, you know, I don't have those, so I don't want to focus on that. I focus on what I have and things that I want to have and have the goal drive me to get to that goal instead of all the opposite things that I don't have. I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't know. And you can go on, and you see all the people. We all have people around us that's like that. And I also have to say, Dr. Pat, that people that is in your life that is always negative, like every time you pick up the phone, there's something wrong with them, you know? Maybe you should take a little break from those people, you know?
Yes, like, I think so.
You know, but because I don't think you need those people. They just, you know, like, why will they talk to somebody every time you talk to them? You know, they're jealous at you, or they put you down. So it's like, you know what? People now in my life, Dr. Pat, now including you, good, positive people, that's what you want in your life, because they will help you to lift you up instead of the opposite way. So stay,
I love it.
So, you know, so be around positive energy, people that really, you know, means something to you, that you know you can talk to and you get like positive energy from, instead of all this other negativity. So that's one thing I think it's important to learn from all this.
Geer, I think one of the things that you've said, and so brilliantly, and I'm so glad you pointed this out, because there is so much more for you and I to talk about, and I hope you will come back. What you just shared, you know, and because of the nature of the radio show that I do, this literally saved my life from a very, very serious illness. And I learned what you just shared and what your mom shared with you through this radio show. And I want to thank you for taking love and bringing it into the world in such a beautiful way, Geer. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you so much for helping me start my day with the stories that you shared about your mom. It's been an honor to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Brett. And it has been an honor for me to be on your show. I just, love sharing some of my stories, and I really, really hope that all the listener will think about these stories and use them for themselves, you know, to go to the next level and try to stay positive and get rid of all the negativity around you right now.
Look at yourself
as you. And also, Dr. Pat, I say to people, look at yourself as your best friend. What will it do to your best friend? You want to be good to your best friend, so be good to you, you know, and make it the best as you can. And stay away from all negativity and be happy and focus on your goal and go for it.
I love it, Geer. What a great way to end the show. Thank you so much for joining us here today. We've got lots more to share with you on Geer Ness, on Lila, and much more. What a great story. We're going to make sure all of you have the website. Check it out. Phenomenal fragrance. And what an inspiration. Thank you, Geer. Thank you all for tuning us in and turning us on the Dr. Pat Show. If you've missed any part of this, you're going to want to catch it. Go to drpatlive.com. DrPatLive.com. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Lights go out and I can't be seen. Tides that I tried to.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. Pat Show, radio to thrive by. To contact Dr. Pat, visit thedrpatshow.com. Tune in next Thursday for another dynamic hour of the Dr. Pat.